of Thompson against Veatch. Mr. Chang.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, counsel. My name is Song Chen, and I represent Joseph Thompson with respect to his petition for writ habeas corpus. The decision on appeal at issue is whether the United States Parole Commission's decision to rescind Thompson's parole by at least 40 months constitute an abuse of discretion by the Commission. The notice of action that the Commission issued indicated the Commission's decision were based on two determinations. The Commission first determined that Thompson had committed a new criminal conduct while on work release. The appropriate sentencing applicable rescission guideline indicates 12 to 16 months will be added to his parole date. Second, the Commission determined that Thompson's record justified a significant upward departure from that guideline range and more than doubled his punishment with respect to the rescission guideline and continued his case for hearing until August of 2007. We believe both determinations were erroneous and Thompson's petition should be granted. I will first address the Commission's decision to impose this upward departure from the guideline range. The notice of action specified the factors that the Commission took into consideration while making that decision, and they are Thompson's prior convictions, Thompson's behavior while he was on parole and were on probation before, and this specific incident. The rescission guideline specifies that while the Commission may depart and deviate from the recommended guideline range, it may do so only in unusual circumstances and can only use the factors not fully accounted for already in the guideline range. In this case, these factors that the Commission relied upon to depart are the factors that the Commission imposed the 12 to 16 recommended range. In other words, the Commission committed double counting in its decision to depart and impose this at least 40 months rescission upon Thompson. And this court has stated in previous cases, for example, Romano, that double counting constitutes an abuse of discretion by the Commission. And for this reason, we believe the Commission's determination to depart and impose this additional at least 26 months on Thompson constitute an abuse of discretion. We also believe that the Commission also made an erroneous determination in determining that Thompson had, in fact, committed a new criminal conduct while on work release.
What did he say?
The Commission's notice of action stated that you have committed a new criminal conduct, which is a Category 1 severity offense because it involves threatening bodily harm. The Commission didn't specify any criminal offense or code that Thompson had purportedly violated. In other words, the Commission simply based on this finding upon its previous conclusion that Thompson had committed an administrative violation of threatening bodily harm.
How did he do that? Or how did they say he did it?
Yes. Thompson was charged by an incident report that was filed by the DOJ Bureau of Prison. And after a hearing, the discipline committee from the prison find Thompson to have, in fact, charged these administrative violations, which are threatening bodily harm.
What did he say? You say it wasn't threatening bodily harm. What's the fact? What do they say? What do you say?
Yes. The incident report charged Thompson threatened his female co-workers that he could have his way with them, and he would take care of their boyfriends and husbands with a phone call to other people. And we're not disputing here today that he didn't commit the charged administrative violation of threatening bodily harm. Our position is such a charge and finding doesn't necessarily lead to a conclusion that that same conduct also constitutes a new criminal conduct. And the statement provided in the notice of action is insufficient to allow a reviewing body to make that very important, essential determination. For because both of the Commission's decisions constitute an abuse of discretion, we respectfully request this Court to reverse the District Court's denial of Thompson's petition.
Thank you,
Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Hartzler.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court? Allow me, please, to address the double-counting issue first. There's not really any double-counting, because what the Parole Commission concluded was that this man is a more serious risk to be released on parole beyond what his salient factor score gives us. You'll notice that the lower the score of a salient factor score, the higher the risk. And he has, I think, ends up with 1 point in the salient factor score. But he gets the 1 point because there are a number of items. If you review the regulations, you'll see they're identified as A, B, C, and one of them relates to prior convictions. Well, he's essentially off the charts in terms of prior convictions. So there's no way to go into negative territory if you add additional convictions. But his 12 convictions, I think, is something in the range of 8 more than he would get to earn simply a 0 for his salient factor score on that item, which I believe is item A.
Is the lowest number the worst? Is that?
Lowest number is worst. 0 to 3 is a poor risk, and the higher you go, the less risk you become. And my point is that with his prior criminal record, he ends up with 1 point as a salient factor score. But within the item that designates points for prior convictions, he has way, way more than would earn him a 0 for that item. That makes sense. So his criminal convictions are underrepresented by his salient factor score. And consequently, there's really no double counting. Rather, the Parole Commission is simply taking into account the fact that his salient factor score underrepresents the seriousness of the risk. As for the rational basis for the Commission's decision, I hope that our brief explains that the Commission relied upon its list of what are federal offenses in its guidelines, in its manual, in the Code of Federal Regulations, and identified what the Bureau of Prisons had concluded was an administrative infraction. It concluded that that conduct, the threats he made to these co-workers, constituted communication of a threat, which is one of the listed offenses. And in the manual, in the Commission's manual, identifies communications of a threat that don't involve an assault as a Category 1 offense. That's what the Commission, that's what the rescission officer concluded, and that's what the commissioners, plural, ultimately concluded, that this was a Category 1 offense based on their manual, based on the Code of Federal Regulations. That gave them their rational basis. And the importance of that, of course, is it's a standard review, is to determine whether or not the Commission abused its discretion. Did it have a rational basis to reach a conclusion that Mr. Thompson's parole should be rescinded based on his conduct threatening his co-workers, which the Commission concluded was a Category 1 offense under its guidelines that provided the rational basis for the rescission, and its decision was its guidelines are 12 to 16 months for a rescission delay, but he is a more serious risk than someone who would fall within that guideline because of his substantial criminal record and because of the fact that he had previously had parole dates that had to be rescinded because of conduct just prior. In each case, it was just prior to his release on parole. He had not been successful in the institution. Those factors added together gave the commission a rational basis to conclude that it must rescind his parole for a lengthy period of time and therefore set his next parole hearing for 3 years from the date of his last parole hearing, which is, of course, what the commission is required to do under its guidelines.
Now, is there some confusion about the time? The judge said something about 16 months, and then I think you pointed out that that may have just been an error, but the real intent was the 36. And is there any dispute about that or anything we need to address?
I think the district court was just mistaken. I'm not sure there's anything you need to address. You obviously need to determine whether or not a decision that imposed a penalty in excess of the guidelines constituted an abuse of discretion, and you would decide that based on whether or not the commission had a rational basis to do so, whether it stated that it had a reason to do so. It did state that it had a reason to do so, and stated that it did so because he's a more serious risk based on his prior convictions and his prior conduct in prison.
Okay. Well, they don't really make an issue of it. I just wanted to make sure there's not some mistake that we need to at least observe and say it was a mistake, no big deal, or something like that. I don't know.
I think that's the appropriate approach, yeah. Right. I mean, I hate to say it's no big deal because obviously
we'll say something more authoritative than that. Then.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Chen?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Again, I will just address very briefly the two points that counsel have made. One is the notice of action specified that the commission based its decision to depart on two categories. One is Joseph Thomason is a more serious risk than the guideline indicates, and second, he is a poor risk than the guideline indicates. The serious risk indicates if he would be on parole, the offense he is likely to commit again is going to be a serious offense, usually involves injury to other persons. And the poor risk indicates how likely is he going to commit a new crime once he's on parole.
Well, if he's got 12 convictions, if he makes a threat, he's got some credibility, doesn't he?
Well, that's the point that counsel made with respect to the poor risk. We respectfully submit that that's taken into account in the salient fact score. But the most important fact here is the commission relied upon the third fact, which is he had communicated a threat, he had threatened bodily harm to his co-workers. That is the very incident that he was charged with and be punished for. That cannot be used as an additional factor for finding that he's a more serious risk. Because the 12 to 16 months took account both the seriousness of his incident, misconduct, as well as his salient fact score. So that fact is, we believe, clearly double counting. Regardless whether the poor risk determination was correct or not. And the second point is the government went through the guidelines and tried to say the threatening bodily harm language really indicates that the commission is based its determination that he had committed new criminal conduct on a communicating threat offense. The record simply does not provide enough evidence to show this was in fact the case. I believe the requirement that this court and the regulation provides is to prevent a reviewing body have to do this kind of guesswork. And as such, the commission's determination does not have a rational basis. It was insufficient. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Cheng, we appreciate your willingness and that of Mayor Brown to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.